books.
We welcome back the Book Loft to our weekly book pick segment. The Great Barrington based bookstore they're just great. They've been in the community forever, and they're a terrific group of booksellers. Giovanni Boivin. I just asked him, too. Giovanni Boivin. Boivin is here to tell us about the great books now out and on store shelves, and it's a pleasure to welcome him to the roundtable this morning. It's Boivin.
It's Boivin, yes.
Yeah. I had a good friend in college. I was the best man in his wedding, and his name was Chris Boivin. And then we had a colleague spelled the same way, and it was Boivin. And forever then, I get it confused, and I apologize profusely for my stupidity.
I'm used to it.
All right. Well, I know, but you shouldn't have to be. Giovanni Boivin, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Very nice to have you with us. You have a wonderful list of books, very cool places that you're going to be bringing us. Where would you like to begin?
So the first one I'm going to begin with is Martha Wells' All Systems Red, which is the first in a quartet of novellas, The Murderbot Diaries. And this is a really fun little series. The first one, All Systems Red, introduces us to a security unit android that affectionately calls itself Murderbot, because on a previous contract, it murdered all of its clients. For reasons that it doesn't even know. Its memory was scrubbed. After that, it was repaired and leased back out to a new contract, and it hacked its, what it calls its governor module, which is what makes it obey all the humans' orders. But it hacked that, and it's gone rogue, but it doesn't want people to know it's rogue, so it still pretends to obey the humans' orders, no matter how stupid they may be. So it's a really fun series with an antisocial android that really just wants to be left alone and watch its serials, but it has to take care of its humans from the stupid, stupid decisions they make.
Which just, that's a fool's errand, right?
Yeah.
That never ends.
Yep, pretty much.
And it's Martha Wells?
Martha Wells. It's the first in a quartet of novellas. They're each about 160 pages. I read, I think, all four of them in about a week.
Excellent. All Systems Red is the newest. All right. Next up.
Next up, we have The Lesson by Cadwell Turnbull. This came out a couple of weeks ago. This is a science fiction novel about alien occupation. It takes place modern day St. Thomas in the Virgin Islands. One day this alien ship lands above St. Thomas, and the aliens exit their ship, and they look like us. They speak our language. Of course, it's all a very clever facade to make us more comfortable and compliant. And they agree to live in sort of peace with the locals, to research and also to teach us a very important lesson. And from what I gleaned, the lesson is the universe is a very cold, hard, harsh place. And they demonstrate this with deadly retaliation to any acts of aggression, mostly from local native men. The story kind of takes us through a brief history of the islands from the various local tribes that conquered each other over the first 1,000 or so years to the Dutch slave trade for about 300 years from the mid 16th to the 19th century. but it follows primarily two characters, a young native boy, Derek, and what they call the ambassador to this alien race, the Ina. And together they walk this knife's edge of trying to keep the locals and the visiting alien species from killing each other, and it is not an easy task.
This is The Lesson by Caldwell Turnbull.
Okay.
Next.
Next up, we have Recursion by Blake Crouch. And this book broke my brain. It was one of those...
Is that a compliment? Is that a...
Yeah, it really was. It broke my brain in a good way.
All right, good.
So it follows two primary characters, Barry, who is a detective. We're introduced to him first. He's answering a call. This distressed woman is on top of a skyscraper, sitting on the edge, about to throw herself off, and he's come to talk her down. And one of the first things she says is, "They took my son away." She's suffering from what is known at the time as false memory syndrome. She woke up one day and her life was completely different from what she had remembered it. She remembered having a husband and a family, and she woke up single. Her husband was married to another woman. She never had a son, and it was very traumatizing for her. So that's our introduction to Barry. We're also introduced to Helena, a young research scientist who's studying the neural pathways in the brain to try to help patients with dementia or Alzheimer's, like her mother, to recapture and relive precious memories. So she designs this chair intended to help people very vividly, almost sensually relive very specific memories. And what she inadvertently does is invent a time machine. And instead of sending matter through space and time, she sends someone's consciousness back into a previous memory with all the memories of a previous life. So you have this opportunity to essentially rewrite your past. But it's not just your past, you're also rewriting reality. Because the moment you come back to that point where you went back in time, everything comes crashing together and merges. In the case of Barry, he lost his daughter when she was 15 years old to a hit and run. He gets sent back to the night she supposedly was killed. Saves her. They spend a good, happy 11 years together until he reaches that day where he was sent back, and everybody remembers that his daughter died in a hit and run, including his daughter. And it is a very traumatic experience. And so, of course, technology like this, chaos ensues.
I think now you've broken my brain. It's Recursion by Blake Crouch. Okay.
Next up, we've got a graphic novel. This one comes from the mind of Neil Gaiman, but it's not actually written by Neil Gaiman. It's written by Simon Spurrier, but it takes place in Gaiman's Sandman universe. We're introduced to some very familiar characters like Lucius the Librarian, Matthew the Crow, Cain and Abel, and Merv Pumpkinhead, the very foul-mouthed janitor of the Dreaming Realm. And we're also introduced to Dora, a new dream entity that doesn't behave like a normal dream entity, and nobody can quite figure out why or what she is. Meanwhile, our Dream King has quit. He's left. He's gone. And meanwhile, Lucius the Librarian is trying to keep things in order, keep people from realizing that their Dream King has gone, while the rest of the dreaming around them starts to crumble and fall apart. And it's this beautiful illustrated graphic novel with familiar characters in a familiar realm, but completely new take on the Sandman universe. And it's just a really, really fun beginning to what promises to be a very, very cool, in-depth series.
The Dreaming by Simon Spurrier. Okay.
Next up. If you've already binge-watched the entire third season of Stranger Things, and you're still have that 80s itch to scratch, we come to My Best Friend's Exorcism by Grady Hendrix. And even the book cover looks like a vintage 1980s horror VHS tape, complete with the cheesy graphics and the film stills on the back.
Yep.
And
looks like a Warner Brothers bubble box.
Definitely. You know, it looks kind of worn and ragged on the cover, and that's intended. It's about these two best friends, Abby and Gretchen, sophomores in high school, been friends since the fourth grade, your typical high school drama story, until something happens to them when they're skinny dipping one night, and things just begin to get weird, and Gretchen begins to act strangely, and strange phenomena begins to happen around her. You know, it's a very cool, unique story of this exorcism story, but more it's about friendship, about Abby and Gretchen's relationship, and how that evolves through these very peculiar and disturbing events. This was one of our booksellers, Sherry's, her staff pick, and she actually presented this for her Summer Scary Fun book club. That was her first book
Summer club. Scary Fun, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, so that's My Best Friend's Exorcism by Grady Hendrix.
Good stuff. All right, next.
Next, we've got The Wanderers by Chuck Wendig. And this is a big, chunky novel, just short of 800 pages. And it's a unique take on kind of a zombie apocalypse, but instead of the dead crawling their way out of their graves to feast on human flesh and brains, this is sleepwalkers in some kind of trance that they just cannot be taken out of. And they head to this unknown destination as a flock and as a group. Any attempt to stop them results in very dangerous, almost fatal reactions by the sleepwalkers. They heat up. Their blood starts to boil. They scream. They howl. They cannot. They will not be stopped. But they're not dangerous. So we follow Shayna, and as she follows her sister Nessie, one of the sleepwalkers, on their cross-country journey to this unknown destination, and they meet thousands of other sleepwalkers and their shepherds, all trying to protect them from the dangers of just the natural world, and also people who are not quite understanding what's going on and fearful of what's happening and trying to stop these sleepwalkers by any means necessary.
The new book is Wanderers by Chuck Wendig.
Yep, and that comes out today.
Today's the day.
Today it
is. All right. Finally.
Finally, we have a very fun novel, FKA USA. That stands for Formerly Known As the United States of America, and this is by Reed King. This is, I would call it more speculative fiction because it's set 60, 65 years in our future, and the United States has been broken up, essentially, into various corporate territories. Crunch United, Cinepec Tamarax Affiliated, Real Friends of the North, the Sovereign Nation of Texas, independent territories run by corporations. We meet people who are going under trans-species transition, androids. We meet Truckee, who this young man in Crunch United 402, formerly known as 407, formerly Arkansas, Little Rock, Arkansas, And he has to escort this talking goat across the country to San Francisco, and it, you know, the fate of humanity depends on it. And it's this very wacky novel, basically exaggerating and blowing up current anxieties. Yes, corporations have taken over the world. Yes, sea levels have risen, and much of the coastal United States is underwater. Like almost all of the East Coast, a good portion of California, the entirety of the Pacific Northwest, Maine and Florida are islands now, parts of Texas are underwater, androids are around, you've got Elvis cults, just really kind of bizarre, exaggerated kind of phobias and fears of what the future has in stock. Rising sea levels, corporations, artificial intelligence, but just blown up to this wacky proportion.
FKA USA by Reed King. For more information on the book Loft in Great Barrington, Massachusetts, you can visit them in Barrington Plaza or go online at thebookloft.com. Giovanni Bovin, thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure to have you on the program.
Always a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
I appreciate it. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.